the first stanza of that hymn should stir every soul that hears it. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. It's interesting to note that the word joy is used in the New Testament 58 times. 58 times. God had a reason for putting in there so many times. You know, one of the things that we do is we tend to take things that we're accustomed to and we sing them or we read them or we even say them and they come out of us and they're gone. But I'm here to tell you tonight, those 8 words, joy to the world, the Lord is come. Those words were not sung previous to 2011 years ago. It's only now that the church, the visible church of Jesus Christ, it's only now that we're able to sing those words. And what glorious words they are. It's used so many times in the scriptures because before the Christ child was born, the Bible tells us there was no joy and there was no hope in the world. I have a proof verse for that. The Apostle Paul told the Ephesians that before the Savior came, you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. You see, hope and joy are bound together, just like up and down. You can't have one without the other. Before the Christ child Jesus was born, the best that a person could ever do was create a little happiness with some worldly diversions. People struggled to make it through life, and all the while knowing and fearing the final outcome of this life is death. And in a great sense, that is still true of people today. People who don't know Christ, the Christ child, as their Savior. Vacations, cars, entertainment, money, boats, houses. All of these things are worldly things, and people tried to use them to create just a little bit of happiness in their life. But there's a big problem with just being happy. You see, being happy requires that you do something. Happiness is self-generated. That means in order to remain happy, you have to keep doing something to keep that feeling alive. And the big problem with that is that happiness has a shelf life. It's here today. And it's gone tomorrow. Happiness always has to be generated by something we have or something that we do. But the joy our hymn speaks about tonight and the joy that the Bible speaks of has no such shelf life because it's not self-generated. It's a gift from God. The joy to the world we see in the first stanza is eternal joy. It's not something that's just going to last while you're here. If you know Christ, when you die, you'll continue in that joy for all eternity. The great gift of joy that God gave the world, the great gift, was his most precious possession. His only begotten Son. He has nothing of more value than that. And I'm here to tell you again tonight that Jesus has no shelf life. He's eternal, and the joy that he brings is eternal. He is the Alpha, and he is the Omega. He is the eternal Lamb of God, without beginning and without end. He is the joy of the world, and he is the Savior of all mankind. This, dearly beloved, this is the joy that our Bible and our hymn speaks about. And I would ask you this evening, do you know the joy of salvation in Jesus Christ? Do you have the hope and joy of knowing where you will spend eternity? If you don't, you can claim that hope and joy by doing what the next verse of our hymn says. Let earth receive her king. Let every heart prepare him room. The call of our hymn is the same as the call of the New Testament. Make room in your heart for God. Scripture tells all men that we are to repent, turn from our sins, and come to the Christ. We see in Luke 11, 28 and 30, Jesus himself calls us to himself. Luke writes, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." You see, when you prepare room in your heart for God, with that comes rest. It's only when you prepare room in your heart for God that you can drop that heavy load of sin that all people carry around with them their whole life, some of them. And it's a heavy burden. Listen to what our Lord said after he taught his disciples the parable of the vine and the branches. He was talking about being a part of him, believing on him. "These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full." John 15, 11. What he's saying is that the only way a person can experience true joy in this world and in the world to come is through faith in Jesus Christ. Joy is the gift that God gives every person who puts their trust in his Son. It's his love gift to them. King David made room in his heart for God. That's why he could write in Psalm 16, verse 11, "In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." And lastly, in the third stanza of our hymn this evening, we come to the reason why the blessing of joy was needed. The third stanza says, No more let sins or sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow as far as the curse is found. The curse of sin committed so long ago stripped all of mankind of godly joy. The curse of sin has infected all men. It's universal. It covers the planet. And the byproducts of sin are three: death, destruction, and decay. So when our first parents disobeyed God, he not only put them out of the garden, he also took from them the true joy of life. The true joy of life is communing with God, your Creator. No longer would man walk with God in the cool of the day. That joy was no longer his privilege to do at will. Even the earth itself was cursed because of sin. Listen to what Moses wrote in Genesis 3, 17 and 18. "Then to Adam he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree about which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat from it, Cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you will eat of it all the days of your life, both thorns and thistles. It shall grow for you. But our hymn and our scriptures teach us that his blessings, the Lord Jesus' blessings, flow as far as the curse is found. The blessing that God gave to stem the flow of sin and to remove the thorns and thistles of life was what we're here to celebrate tonight. The Christ child Jesus. In him is the fullness of God. In him is the power to forgive sins and restore joy to mankind. And in him and him alone is found eternal life. And the best part is that the blessings of salvation and joy are given to all, everyone who makes room in their heart for God. Have you made room in your heart for God? If you're listening to this message, ask yourself that question. Is there room for him? Or is there a no room left sign hanging on your heartstrings? The Apostle Paul told the crowd in his sermon at, Peter told the crowd in his sermon at Pentecost, "And it shall be that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved," Acts 2:11. Jesus himself, our Lord, affirmed this in John 6:36. "All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me, I will certainly not cast out." You see, the Lord has come to redeem all those that are lost. That's the joy we celebrate with the birth of Christ. And I can't understand this as long as I've studied the Bible and as long as I've prayed and as many times as I've asked why God decided to make mankind the object of his love. I don't understand that. I don't understand why Jesus Christ would set aside his glory, thinking it not robbery to be equal with God, and then to take on the form of a man lower than even the angels that served him. I don't understand that, but I know it's love. This is the miracle of Christmas, that a holy, righteous God would choose to come and live among such sinful creatures as mankind. That's the miracle of Christmas, that he would come. That he would humble himself to be born in a manger. That he would humble himself by serving mankind as the perfect example of righteousness. And finally, he would humble himself and he would allow his creatures to nail him to a tree so that he could be their personal sacrifice for every sin they ever committed. I don't understand all of that, but I accept it. And all this came about because God, one in eternity past, decided to make you and you and you and you and you objects of his love. Now, let me ask you. The world knows about Jesus Christ in most parts of the United States anyway. Have you decided to make him the object of your love? And I'm talking to believers and unbelievers alike, because everybody fails at loving, don't we? We don't do real well with that. Have you made him the object of your love? Have you come to worship because it's the holiday season? It's Christmas. Most churches in America on Christmas Sunday or Christmas Eve are filled. And you never see the people again until Easter. And then at Easter time, it's filled again. And then you don't see him until the next holiday. If you come to worship because of the season or the holiday, then you're in luck, because there's more than just worshiping a season or a holiday. There's hope and salvation in Jesus Christ. If you haven't looked upon Jesus as your Savior, today, this evening, is the day of salvation. See me after the service, or call me, and I'll tell you how much God loves you, that he was willing to give his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And if you call me or you talk to me, he must be stirring your heart. And I'll show you in his word just how much he loves you and what he would like to do for you. And for my beloved brothers and sisters in Christ, I would ask you, do you only celebrate the birth of Christ only once a year? Why is that? Do not all the blessings from Christ come to you every day of your life? Then why would you only celebrate his birth for a few days each year? Shouldn't joy to the world, the Lord has come, be the anthem that rings in your heart every single day? Shouldn't we recite and thank God every day for John 3:16? Oh, my beloved, how easy it is for the redeemed in the Lord to forget just how blessed they are in Christ Jesus. Don't let that happen to you. Don't let Christmas be a one-day event or a week event or a two-week event. Let it be an event that rings in your life every single day. As we stood up here and we lit this last candle, light that in your heart every day. Take that picture, put it here, and put it here every day. Because you have been blessed above all men. You have been given things that the world knows nothing about. You are a royal priesthood. You have been given a great gift, greater than any man can fathom. This book is unfathomable. And it all started in Bethlehem, in a barn, 2,011 years ago. And to this very day, those gifts that he brought with him are still being dispersed every day and everywhere in the world. That's what Christmas is about. It's about the miracle that God would come and be related to human beings. He sees something in us that we don't see ourselves. And for those of us who know Jesus as our Savior, we need never to forget that. And for those that don't know Christ as Savior, you need to know that that hope is there fresh for you every day. Every day. As we light our candles and leave this place tonight, I want everyone to take home a thought. This thought. Don't just light the Advent candle at Christmas. Do it every day of your life. And let it burn in your heart and glow in your heart that the whole world sees it. Praise God for the birth of Jesus Christ every day, because only he can bring peace, joy, and hope to a world that's lost in sin. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you. We thank you, Lord, for everything. We don't even know where to begin, because your blessings are so grand and so way over our heads, Lord. We are like children trying to describe something. But God, search our hearts, try us, and know, Lord, that we love you and that your gift of life that you sent, the Christ child Jesus, is a gift that we cherish. And Lord, I pray that you would make everyone here who knows him as their Savior, that you would make us Advent people, Lord, in the sense that we think of his birth every day, his coming, and Lord, also of his next coming as well. And we pray, Lord, for those that may not know Christ, that on this Christmas Eve you might stir hearts and you might be willing to bring a few more into your kingdom. And we'd ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. We're going to stand and sing.